Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. I'm Amanda Quinn.
And I'm Laura Jackson.
And in today's podcast, we are talking about how you can make family health and fitness a priority.
So important.
Super important. And that's totally why we're talking about it, especially with, you know, spring break and family day and everything coming up. Like, all of these things are happening. It's really important to start thinking about ways that you can start incorporating, you know, health and fitness, in my opinion, health and fitness into not only your day-to-day, but also when you're planning vacations or when you're planning outings, et cetera, how you can make them so that they're more focused around health and fitness, as opposed to, you know, it's so easy to just get like sucked into like, oh, we're going to go to the movies or we're going to, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that from time to time, but how you can start incorporating it a little bit easier into your day-to-day lifestyle. And then especially during these dedicated sort of times where you should be spending time with your family, how you can connect and how you can build fitness and health into it.
Well, yeah. And I think because, you know, now we're so connected to like our devices and it's, and I get it. I mean, I'm not a parent, so I can't speak to that, but I am an aunt. And I mean, so when you're busy too, and you're trying to get stuff done to save for work, like I work from home, the majority of the time, it's like, it's very easy to give them like a tablet to play a game on or, you know what I mean? Like these constant distractions. Whereas, you know, when I was growing up, this is totally going to date me. we obviously didn't have all that stuff. So for us, it was like, I remember my mom used to have to drag us back inside. Like we'd be playing TV initials outside or like hide and go seek, riding our bikes, making up our own games. Like my favorite thing was building forts out of like all the old boxes and stuff. And I just think that we've kind of gotten into this really bad habit where we're just giving our kids devices to zone them out. But it's also because we're so overworked and stressed. So it's kind of like, I'm happy we're talking about this because it's giving some ideas to get stuff to do together. It's like you are actually enjoying spending family time together and moving at the same time.
Definitely. I mean, according to Active Healthy Kids, only 12% of children are actually getting the recommended 90 minutes a day of physical activity. So 12% is pretty low. I mean, 90 minutes does sound like a lot for some people. Like when you hear like 90 minutes, you're like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do for 90 minutes? But that doesn't have to be consecutive. So when you think about it from that perspective, it can literally be like, you know, you can break that up into like, they go play outside for half an hour with their friends and then they come inside and maybe you guys go for a bike ride or you go for a walk or, you know, you can break it up into sections so that it's not just necessarily focused on, we have to do this for an hour and a half straight. But although some things are really easy to do for an hour and a half straight, like if you're playing tennis or kickball or like anything like that, it's so easy to get lost like in your time. So, but yeah, only 12%. That's kind of low, right? And also according to the Active Healthy Kids, this I found really interesting. The lifestyle pattern of your kids under 6 years old will predict their level of health and obesity later in their life.
Oh, I totally agree with that. I mean, and that's the thing is because they're called healthy habits for a reason, right? They're habits that you learn. These are not things that we naturally know how to do. We don't naturally, obviously our body, we need movement, but we're not like, oh, I really want to eat all my fruits and vegetables because, you know what I mean? Like we have to learn that these are good for us and learn how to prepare them properly or learn how to like, you know, make activity a priority as opposed to just being like, okay, I want to sit inside because obviously sitting is, well, for some people sitting is more fun. I mean, for me as a kid, I loved playing. I loved it. I just think people don't even know how to do it anymore. They don't even like, cause they, to them, they don't even think about it. Kids, they think about computers and games
and video games and yeah. And TV and all that stuff. Well, that's a great point. And so the first actual point on how that we're going to talk about today about how to get fit together with your family, the very first point is learn to play together. So what you're saying, like a lot of people don't really even know how to play together anymore. And, you know, oftentimes as parents and, you know, we often think of it as like playing together, meaning signing our kids up for sports. So rather than playing together, we think of having them play, but we never think of it as like a joint effort. So if you, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with signing your kids up for sports. It's fantastic, right? Because it gets them active. It gets them interacting with their peers. It gets them motivated, excited. It challenges them to learn new skills, et cetera. So there's nothing wrong with signing them up for a sport or an activity, but the only thing that it does do is it leaves you as a parent on the sidelines. So you're not necessarily playing together, you're having them play. So one of the great things to think about is like, you know, is there a way that you can play together? And because basically when families are active together, it leaves a lasting impression on the kids. And oftentimes when you do things together, they will end up maintaining that as they grow up. And as they have kids, they'll start incorporating those same things together. So maybe it's hiking, or maybe it's, you know, like even just playing like tag and hula hoop and skipping and family Olympics and stuff like that. Like there's so many different ways that you can kind of incorporate play that doesn't have to necessarily be about signing up for a specific sport. Also, to add to that, there's oftentimes you'll have kids that don't like organized sports or activities, and it can actually create more stress and anxiety around physical activity and the association to it if you're forcing sport onto them. Like I know for you, Laura, like I don't know about you actually, but I know for me growing up, I didn't like any kind of sports. I wasn't signed up for any sports.
I told you about this. It gave sports give me anxiety.
Yeah, like I didn't sign up for any sport. Everything I did was individual based. I did like figure skating and stuff like that. But even when I did that, it created anxiety and stress for me because I was overweight as a child and I was struggling with my weight and I used to get bullied about it and everything else. So putting on like a leotard and skates and hitting the ice was not my idea of a good time. Like it just, well, it wasn't.
No. And like,
even though I love the activity and I still to this day love ice skating. So that kind of shows like how, you know, an activity can be maintained into your lifestyle as you grow up, because I still love ice skating, but it created so much stress for me that I didn't enjoy it at the time. And I was doing it by myself. So it wasn't like I was playing with anybody else. I was literally just on this little solo mission of trying to learn how to do a sow cow.
Well, I find too, for me, actually, I did play sports in middle school. So when I was younger, I was kind of like the like activity jumper. Like I was like, oh, I'm into rhythmic gymnastics for like a month. Now I'm into tap for like a month. Now I'm into dance or whatever. Then in middle school, I did play soccer. I did play basketball because I'm tall. So I think that was the only reason why I played. But then when I got into high school, so that's where too, I mean, even though we're talking about families at all ages. And I found that was when, for me, I completely let go of all of my dreams of athletics. No, I had no dreams. But I let go of
being in the WNBA.
Yeah. God, stress me out. But no, I ended up being like, I transitioned into obviously discovering things like smoking and smoking pot. Yes, I did used to smoke pot. But you know what I mean? Like there was things that in high school, in grade, you know, at the age of 14, 15, I started experimenting with other things and getting really interested in boys and all this stuff that my activity completely took a back burner. So I think that that's also when, for me, my weight struggles really started, because I also, you know, you're hitting puberty, your hormones are changing, you're not active as you were growing up, and then next thing you're eating a ton of stuff. And so throughout high school and going into after high school, that was when I really started gaining a lot of weight and not taking care of my health at all. And at the same time, started, you know, with an eating disorder, as well as starting with serious levels of anxiety, obviously going hand in hand with the fact that I wasn't active, that I wasn't treating my body well. And then fast forward, you know, till I got older and I learned that all these things matter. So I just think it's really important to, no matter how, if you have kids and you're listening to this, whether they're 3 years old or whether they are, you know, 15 years old or 18 years old, I think it's really important to keep activity as something, because it only brings positive things to your family.
For sure. And it does leave, like what I was saying earlier, it's proven that it leaves a lasting impression on your kids, no matter what age. And even if they, you know, venture from it, because obviously I didn't stick with figure skating throughout my entire life. But when, you know, even now, like I said, now 20 years later, I'm like, oh, I still really enjoy figure skating. It's still just something I like. So
one of our instructors too, though, she actually, one of our Fit Chicks instructors, I loved it. She actually created an activity calendar for her family. So she has.
Yeah, so wait, we're going to talk about that as point number five.
Oh.
Don't jump ahead. We got to leave them in suspense.
She just did some really cool things. And she also, because she was not athletic, which I thought was really cool. And then also the other thing that obviously she did a lot of was, you know, family activity adventures as opposed to just doing sports or, you know what I mean? Like the activity calendar, like it would be like, let's do an adventure. Let's do snowshoeing. Let's do whatever. Let's go check this area out. You know, like a doer. She's a good doer.
But yeah, so I mean, to wrap up point number one, it's really just, you know, find ways to find play, like, and do it, try to do it together. Definitely. Like I was saying, the first point, you know, tie it in so that, you know, definitely have them play with their peers and, you know, join sports that they enjoy and that doesn't cause stress or anxiety for them and that, you know, builds on skills, but also find ways like, you know, maybe there's like a softball team that you can join as like a mother daughter or father son or father daughter or whatever, but, or even just as siblings, they can join together, but something that they can do so that they're playing together and you're playing with them.
That's one thing I love at our retreats. I love seeing like the mom daughters that come together.
Oh, they're fantastic. Cause you can see them bonding over something different for once, something, you know, around their health and wellness. And you know that they'll take what they've learned and maybe join a Zumba class together, or maybe do yoga together, or maybe start cooking together and start learning and growing together from a health and wellness perspective. So it's great. I agree. Now, the second point about how you can sort of tie in health and fitness into your family lifestyle is what we were talking about earlier in sort of the beginning of this conversation today, which was fit it in when you can. Because as I was saying, like the active lifestyle group, they talk about how kids should be having 90 minutes a day. And I mean, we're busy, right? Like everyone's got busy schedules. Sometimes it just doesn't allow for us to incorporate health and fitness into our lives as much as we think we can. So it's really important for your well-being and your children's well-being to try to fit it in when you can. So it doesn't have to be, like I was saying, that 90 minutes straight. You can break it up into 30 minutes and then 10 minutes here, 10 minutes of playing, maybe a family walk after dinner or something along those lines. Like, I mean, I know for me, one of my favorite things to do is after dinner to go for a walk. And that's why I always use that as an example, because it's just like a really nice way to like digest your food and kind of, you know, not just automatically like just sit. Cause I find after I eat dinner, if I just sit, I feel really full and I feel really heavy. So not heavy, like fat, just like heavy, like physically my body just gets like slumpy, like sluggish and like, bleh. So I find if I go for a walk after dinner, I always feel like it helps me digest. I don't feel as, you know, like sluggish and, but yeah, there's so many great ways. And I mean like Laura, is there any suggestions that you have in terms of like fitting it in when you can?
I think you have to schedule it. I think people are the most successful, and that's, you know, we talk a lot about the habits. You got to make it a habit, and it doesn't become a habit automatically. So you have to create the habit so that it just becomes automatic. And to start, if you're not used to doing it, schedule it in. And so your kids know, like Saturday mornings, we're doing this, like we're doing something active. We're going for like a 30-minute walk, or like you were saying, after dinner, we always go for a walk.
Yeah.
Like things that become consistent, because kids and adults, we love regime. Like even though when people are like, oh, I don't like having a schedule, but that's how we operate, you know, like every person in the world is on some sort of a schedule, whatever it is that they do as a job or whatever it is that they do, you know, with their kids' schedules for school. Like we all are operating on some form of a schedule, but children especially respond the best to having structure. So if you like start to, you know what I mean, make it something that is scheduled in, that you guys do this every day, like, okay guys, we have to get our 10,000 steps today on my Fitbit. Like, let's get to walking and make it as an activity that you guys do like as a family and a goal you're going to hit as a family, then it just will become a natural habit. And your kids will grow up to do that. Because even with me, like, there's things that my mom did when I was a kid that I thought were weird that now are habits that I've taken with me.
Like what?
Well, like, my mom was the best. Like, she was so creative. And she used to always come up with, like, the funnest things for us to do. Like, we were never, like, not doing stuff as a family. And it wasn't like things just like going to the movies. Like, she would be like, hey, we're making all the food, we're packing a picnic, we're going to this random park, and we're gonna, like, we create our own adventures kind of thing. Like, everything was a big adventure. And, like, I found sometimes I was like, oh my god, mom, like, what are we doing, why are we going here? But now as I'm older, that's exactly how I still am. Like, even on the weekends, I create my own adventures wherever I am. Like, I'm always need to be doing something, exploring. I'm super curious, and, like, but it keeps me moving. It keeps my mind fresh.
That's awesome. All right. So schedule it in. Definitely. I agree with that point 100% in terms of fitting it in. But I also agree with, you know, maybe sometimes it's not in the schedule, but you're like, oh, we have like half an hour downtime. Find something to do. Like, whether it is go for a walk, or whether it is just, you know, play tag with your, or play hide and seek with your kids, or depending on their age or whatever. You know, if you have that like little extra time that you didn't even realize you were going to have, find a way to try to make it active as opposed to, you know, video games and consoles, et cetera.
Well, and B, I think as women, like, every household is different, but the majority of households, you know, the woman is the center of the household. Like, we set the tone for the house. So be an activity leader, like, be a fitness cheerleader, or like, give that job to like one of your kids each week. You know what I mean? Like, okay, you're responsible for our activity this week. You know, like, what are we doing? You plan it for us. Like, kids also, like, they love those types of things. My nieces, like, if you give them jobs, they are like, they love it. Like, if they're responsible for something, they're 9. But, like, even growing up, we would be like, okay, you, like, we can either go ice skating, or we can go for a walk, or we can go here. Like, you get to pick what we get to do. And they would be like, oh my god, we're going ice skating. Like, and then I'd be like, okay, you're responsible for making sure we have all of the stuff to go ice skating. And they would collect everything. You know what I mean? Like, it became, so, they were so involved in it instead of just being told, like, we're doing this. And again, that's how the habits are built. So, I mean, I think as a woman in the house, like, be that leader, be that fitness leader for your family, like, set the tone. Even if you're not a fitness person, even if you don't think you are, like, you can go for a walk, or you can go for, you know what I mean, a swim, or whatever it is, like, make it, but own that leadership role, because you're responsible for getting your kids into these healthy habits.
Agreed. Now, the next point about how to get your family involved would also be about, we're going to talk about vacationing. And I think this is really important, because a lot of times when we think about vacations, we always think about like going to a resort and like just laying on the beach, and you're like, you know, under your umbrella, and the kids are just kind of like playing in the sand, and that's sort of like it. And again, there's nothing wrong with those types of vacations, but find a way if you're looking to incorporate more health and fitness and create it more of a lifestyle, an active lifestyle for your family, find a way to take an active vacation. Like, head out for a vacation that, you know, has daily activities on their schedules, and take advantage of them. Because a lot of times you'll see the schedule and you're like, oh, that sounds really cool. They have like a scuba diving lesson, and then they have this catamaran lesson and all this stuff. And then you're like, you never do it. So, but actually schedule it in, take advantage of those things, put yourself on as soon as you check into the hotel, put yourself on the roster so that you know that you're committed to going to those classes, so that you're learning a new skill, but you're also doing something as a family that's brand new, different, and active.
Well, it's like, I find it funny how, you know, some of our friends, like when we go on vacation with them, they'll be like, oh my God, you go to the gym every day on vacation? I'm like, yeah, usually. And they're like, oh, it's a vacation. I'm like, yeah, but going to the gym to me is not like a chore. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's part of my lifestyle. It's something I do. But when I'm on, obviously, when I'm on certain types of vacations, like if I'm on a resort vacation, I usually do use the gym.
Yeah.
If I'm on, or I attend the classes that they offer. If I'm on like another type of vacation, the main form of activity, because obviously like if I'm in a brand new country and I have a limited amount of time, I don't want to spend an hour in a gym. but I will make sure that I'm using that time, like walking and, you know what I mean? Like hiking and exploring things like that are actually part of that culture. So I could still get my activity in, but I get to see a lot of stuff.
Definitely. Well, no, and that was one of our next points, was just like avoid the bus tours. Instead, like look for walking tours. Like if you are in an area that you've never been in, you know, you're in a different country or whatever, and you're curious about it, try to look for like walking tours, hiking tours, bike tours, other ways of transporting you and your family to go and check out those sort of, those different tourist attractions that you want to see, because there's always a bus tour option, but there's always other options too. And it can really just, I mean, A, it's good because it'll give you activity, but B, it also allows for you to be a little bit more immersed, I find, in the culture. I find when you're on a bus, you're just kind of like zipping by things and you're like, oh, that's nice. Yeah, you know, but you don't really get to take it in.
Yeah. Like I don't like, it's very strange. I have this weird thing. I need to see things like with like my own eyes, and seeing things through a glass, it just doesn't seem as like, I don't know. It doesn't seem as realistic. Like it's almost like when you're looking at things through a window, it's like, you're not even really there.
Yeah. So no, like I agree with you.
Away from it.
That's probably why you and I travel well together.
I know, because we want to see everything and do everything and eat everything, which is also part of the active vacations, is stay away from the massive buffets at every meal.
I know. I mean, it's so like, it's tough sometimes on resorts specifically, because resorts oftentimes the only thing they offer for lunch, for breakfast and lunch, is the buffet option, right? Most resorts. So then you'll eat those meals, but if you can, try to avoid at least your dinners, have family dinners, like book, if your resort has those like specialty restaurants, book the day you check in for each of the nights that you're there to go to those specialty a la carte type restaurants, or even go to like some of the local spots for dinners and things like that. Like, or if you're lucky enough that you have a suite and you actually have some space in your, you know, maybe you bring breakfast with you. I know my sister did that with her family, where when they went to the Bahamas, they ended up going to the grocery store. They got a suite and then they made breakfast and lunch every day in their room. And it wasn't like, you know, complex. So it wasn't taking up like an hour of her time every day making like all these meals and stuff. But then at least she knew what they were having for breakfast and lunch was healthy. It was simple. It was keeping them sort of on the same sort of track in terms of like their eating patterns and behaviors. And then for dinners, they would have a dinner out every night. And so it saved her money too, in the big picture of things, but it also just allowed for the kids to kind of have a little bit of, cause they're younger children, and it allowed for them to have like, you know, a little bit of, what is the word that I'm thinking of? Oh my gosh. A little bit of normalcy with their diets.
Well, and also like if you go stay, even if you're not at a resort, if you stay at any hotel there, if you do a bit of research and find one that has a kitchen, because there's a lot of cost-effective options. So I know for family vacations, like a lot of us, it's very expensive, you know, like,
oh yeah.
So you're going to save a lot of money. If you cook on your own, you're going to save a lot of calories. You could still eat things from local like delis and markets and things like that. But yeah, if you eat like two meals at home, you're going to save a lot of money, but there is a lot of hotels and cost-effective options that have full kitchens. And then even if they don't have a full kitchen, ask at your hotel for a fridge in your room. So you could at least have some like fresh fruit and snacks in there. So it's not that you're like having to constantly go back to the buffet or go out to eat to, again, save money and avoid, you know, going for an apple. And next thing you know, you've eaten three pieces of cake. Just because it's there.
No, it's funny. I mean, even when I travel just for work, I always make sure that I stop at a grocery store and bring to my hotel room. I always have like yogurts with me, some fresh fruit with me, some nuts and some water. Like I go and I pre-buy those things at a grocery store before I check into the hotel, so that at least I know for breakfast and for snacks, I'm set, you know, because the last thing you want to do is just keep eating and eating and eating, especially at the buffet, because they say that you'll actually eat over 50% more calories at a buffet than you would at a normal sit-down meal. I think it's probably even more.
Well, I think it's more for sure.
But that's the stat. The stat says it's about 50%. I would say anytime I eat at a buffet, I probably eat like 90%
more. Probably like 200% more.
Like it's so scary. And I mean, But yeah, so it's just like, even if you're active on your vacation, if you're sabotaging yourself by eating at the buffet and gorging yourself every single time, which I've done. I remember when we went to Mexico and I went crazy at their buffet, like, because I love Mexican food, and I ate so many quesadillas and so much cheese and everything else that I came back from Mexico, even though you and I went mountain biking and hiking and we walked a lot and we did things, I came back 7 pounds heavier. I gained 7 pounds in a week.
Oh yeah, me too.
And it's like, but it's
of sangria.
Well, yeah, but it's so easy for that to happen. And so, I mean, so basically our point is, you know, look at ways that you can be active on vacation and try your best to not overindulge, because even though, yes, it's vacation and you should just be relaxed and enjoying yourself, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to like completely gorge yourself so that, you know, you're going to regret it in the end. Anyway.
Well, it doesn't need to be these all or nothing mentalities. It's like it's the same thing with, you know, like New Year's resolutions and all of these things, when we're so strict on ourselves and when we like, you know what, this week I'm just going to do whatever I want. And next thing you know, you're like drinking 12 bucks of sangria like I did, you know, like I've learned my lessons now, but it's like you just end up taking this like free-for-all attitude, and then it's like, it's not good for you. It's not good for your body. It's not good for your kids. It's too much for a week. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
Keep your normal habits and obviously try new things and enjoy your vacation, but you don't need to go like balls to the wall, for lack of a better word.
All right. So skipping from vacations now, going back to just sort of ways that you can incorporate health and fitness, because I think the vacation one is really important because I think it's the one that's really overlooked. But the next point is all about how you can incorporate health and fitness as a family. But this is specifically talking about the food side of it, because we were just talking a lot about food. So I figured it's perfect. So the next point is watch what you're serving up, because it can be really tempting with today's day and age, the way that people are in terms of schedule, in terms of time, et cetera. It's so easy to just grab packaged processed foods, throw it in the microwave and call it dinner, right? It happens. I'm sure it happens more often than maybe some people would like. But try to avoid it as much as you possibly can. And I know that it's so much easier said than done, but essentially that kind of food is just poisoning your kids, right? Like you're giving your kids processed, packaged, poisoned foods. So
they're not even food. I wouldn't even call it food. It's like Frankenfood.
Yeah. Well, so, and I mean, the best way to avoid this is, and we say this like, I think like every podcast, but it's so important, is to meal prep. Because meal prepping in advance allows for you to just have that no thinking. And basically, it saves you money, it saves you time, it saves you sanity, it saves your waistline. It's so easy to do if you get into a habit of it. So like Laura was saying, schedule it in. So on Sundays, I schedule in my meal prepping. I do my meal prep on Sunday. I prepare everything in advance. I batch cook on Sundays. I freeze some stuff that I cook. Excuse me. And then I also put something in my slow cooker. So I've got like about 5 different meals that I usually prep in advance on a Sunday, and it's all ready to go. Do you know how like happy it makes me and how depressed it makes me when I miss Sundays? Like if I've got something going on or I'm traveling or something and I can't do that on a Sunday, my Mondays are pretty much shot. I end up eating like the most random stuff because I'm like, oh, I don't know what to eat. Like I feel confused by it because I'm like,
well, it's like me today because I'm like, I'm going back to the city for like a month and I'm like, don't want to buy a ton of groceries. So whatever's in my fridge right now, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, what am I eating? Like, it's like,
yeah, you just be random. Like I'll be like, I'm going to have pickles and an apple. And like, it's like, it's not a meal. It doesn't satisfy me. It doesn't make me feel good. I mean, it's still real food, but it's not great. And
so, the thing with meal
prep, like I'm saying, we can't say it enough. Just meal prep. It's meal prep.
And like get your kids involved. Like that is the perfect activity to get your kids to do with you. You can all pick a recipe you want to do. You can all cook together. You're going to teach your kids about food. Like the more kids are
involved, grocery shopping together too. Yes. Is such a huge thing. So many times people want to like just get the groceries and get out or whatever. But if you have your kids join you at the grocery store and like help you choose foods or you know, show them different foods. Like I remember watching, and I think you and I watched it together. It was at Jamie Oliver's show. where he was going through some schools in the United States, and he was showing kids different vegetables and asking them if they knew what it was. And I still remember, because it stuck into my mind, when he held up a potato and he's like, what's this? And they were like, French fries. And like when he'd hold up like a tomato and they're like, I don't know. And to me, it's like, all you need to do is incorporate it into their lifestyle, teach them, like, you know, bring them to the grocery store and be like, oh, we need some squash. And, you know, we're going to get a spaghetti squash. And then you can show them what it is. And then maybe next time you could be like, oh, do you remember what it is? Do you want to get one? And so give them the opportunity to learn and grow and kind of be more hands-on with the experience.
Well, and this is something I'm super passionate about, because I think that, like learning activity when you're younger, learning about food when you're young is one of the most important life skills that you can give a child. And we don't provide it in our schools anymore. And it has to be learned at home. It has to be learned at home. Like, so for, and if you as a mom or a dad listening to this doesn't know about nutrition, then I think it's your responsibility to learn or bring someone in who does, who can help your family. And there's so many awesome holistic nutritionists out there now, and like podcasts like this and blogs, and there's, you know, to get more educated and involved. But the most important work you will do in your entire life is the work you do at home. And teaching your kids how to eat properly is a skill that will change the course of their health and their lives. So
100%.
It's something for me that I'm like so passionate about, that if there's anything that you can do with your kids is like exercise and food, and also then teach.
What is your plan? And what is your sister? I know when we're talking about like incorporating, you know, food with your kids, like I know I heard you were telling me the story about what your sister did with her twins.
Well, my sister has been amazing with my nieces, like they're twin girls, and they're like, ever since they were young, she's always had them very involved in food. And like I was saying before, you know, with selection of activities, they did the same thing with selection of food. So they could choose their breakfast. So they were in charge and responsible for making these choices, but she would only give them options. It wouldn't be like, what do you want for breakfast? It would be like, what do you want for breakfast? Do you want blueberries and Greek yogurt? Do you want eggs and whole grain toast, or do you want this? So they knew they still were in control and felt like, I'm making healthy food choices, but really the only options were healthy ones as well. You know what I mean? Like,
of course.
So they started to learn. And then, so then as they got older, they would actually ask for that stuff. So when it would be like, okay, you know, let's make breakfast. Oh, I want blueberries and crunchies, which would be like nuts. I want blueberries and crunchies and Greek yogurt. Like they would just be asking for those things. So, I mean, obviously with the average child, it takes like 15 times to get them to actually like some foods. Exposure to a food 15 times. So like, if you're like, my kids will not eat anything, you just don't give up. Keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
Keep trying, and eventually, you know, there's a lot of things for kids that for their taste buds, it's very strong, like a lot of, you know, vegetables and stuff like that. But just keep trying, and that's what my sister did. And another thing she does too is she makes things like games, because kids love games. And so the other day she made them do like a MasterChef challenge. So she picked the ingredients, and the ingredients were to make like a salad and a sandwich. With chicken, like she picked whatever the ingredients were, and then they could prepare it whichever way they wanted to, and then she picked the winner. So they both prepared.
Yeah, that was the challenge I saw that I love. I think it's great.
Yeah, and it was like, it made things super fun. She gave them healthy ingredients. It was something that, you know, on an afternoon, they're still involved in doing stuff. Gave my sister a break because she didn't have to cook. Do other things during it.
And she got served.
Yeah, and they love cooking. They love being involved in the kitchen. And I just think for, you know, if you're a mom out there listening to this and you don't have healthy habits, or you don't know how to do all this stuff, don't stress, but reach out. Like there's so many, like I was saying, there's so much support out there. There's so much education. There's cooking classes in your local, you know what I mean? Like in your local community, you can do online classes. There's so much stuff you can do to better your nutrition knowledge. And I really think it's something that every parent should do.
I think so too. And I mean, just to add to that, to sort of wrap that part up, is just, keep in mind too, that it doesn't have to be extreme. Like you don't have to go like all or nothing, you know, with the nutrition side of it, but try to get as educated as you possibly can. You know, you don't have to go like vegan, organic and raw foods only, because that's, you know, where you think you should go. It doesn't have to go that crazy. It can literally go to just, you know, okay, I'm going to try to do meal prepping. So I'm going to go to take this class on like meal prepping, or I'm going to start learning more about spices. So I'm going to take this online class that teaches me about different spices. And so, you know, there's just so many different things that you can do that would just enhance the experience for yourself and for your family.
The three cornerstones that you can do right now to completely change the health of your family: cook. So cook your own food, which would be meal prepping, eat real whole foods, and follow the complete in three. And that's another thing we say all the time: every meal, protein, fiber, and a fat. If you do those three things, you will completely transform the health of your family.
Yep. See, it's not so hard. And if you're not sure what we're talking about in terms of the complete in three, you'll have to listen to some of our other podcasts. So you have to go back and listen. Let's just talk now, because I know that you were talking about this earlier. And so we're just finishing up our podcast for today, but we're talking about how to incorporate health and fitness as a family. And so after the nutrition side, the last thing is about creating a family fitness challenge. And so Laura, you were talking about this earlier with one of our instructors, and you were saying how, you know, she used to do challenges with her kids and create adventures and everything else. And, you know, one of the other things that you can do is, you know, like what you were saying too, that people, that kids especially, they love to feel like they're accomplishing something, or they like to feel as though, you know, they're sort of, you know, something is being recognized. And so I always think of it as, you know, how you give, if you do a 30-day challenge at like a yoga studio, you know, how you do the 30-day challenges there, and you can do like every day you have to show up and do your practice, and then you get a gold star and you put it on this wall. And it's funny because it's like adults that are doing this, but you can see that they're very proud to be able to show that they've accomplished that task or that goal. So if you take that sort of similar idea and you create something for your family, so it could be like an activity chart, a 30-day activity chart for your family activity, and each member gets a star for completing a set activity every day. So maybe it's an activity that you do together, or maybe it's something that they're doing individually. Maybe it's a sport that they're working on or a skill specifically, but definitely try to think of it more as like, as a family, we're going to do this. And then, you know, you give your kids a star that they put on this little chart on the wall. It will make them excited because they'll feel like they're accomplishing something and they're being recognized for it. And visually they have that feedback as well. So definitely something that you can do to create a fitness challenge, but for your family specifically.
Yeah. Like I think that like family fitness challenges, I think that they're like one of the best things that you can do, like activity calendars, challenges, things that are visuals that hold you accountable. Again, get your kids involved. Like even having just even a regular, your daily calendar and writing on it, like, okay guys, we're going to be doing like this weekend, we're going to go skating. Next weekend, we're going to go tobogganing. Like, what do you guys want to do for activity week number three or whatever, you know, like something that again, gets them involved, gets you involved in the planning and plan it. Like if you plan it, it will save you so much stress, because that's the thing with all of us. So it's like when you're just kind of like, you know, treading water, you feel like, which is the majority of us, we're so overwhelmed. If you take all of the decisions out of it and make the plan in advance for the month or for the week, it's going to save you so much stress, like so much thinking and decision-making and stress time and trying to organize everybody. The other thing that I think is really good for families to do too is if you have any, like obviously if you're not super active or you want to get somebody like, I don't know, or you feel like you're not confident in being that activity leader, hire a personal trainer as your family trainer. So there's a lot of personal trainers that will come to your house and they can set up for you like a family obstacle course or do a family workout together or like push you on a family hike or whatever it is that you, but hire somebody instead of just going and doing your fitness on your own, which for sure, like, you know, I find my workouts when I do my best thinking and I like to work out solo. Like I'm more of a solo workouter than as opposed to like a class or with a partner. I have accountability partners, but I don't do my workout with them. But I like to work out solo because it's kind of my time. But if like your kids need to see you being active and they need to be a part of that with you. So it's really great if you could bring somebody in to help get you guys on that page and, you know, create something that you can do together until you get the confidence and the know-how to do it on your own.
Definitely. I mean, I agree. I think that hiring a trainer, but if that's not an option for you financially or whatever, there's also the option to like even just set something as simple as like every day on your calendar is a different activity. Or it could be every day we go for a walk after dinner for half an hour. And on top of that, we do 10 jumping jacks, 10 flights of stairs and 10 squats or something. It doesn't have to be overly complicated, but you want to have something so that it's like, whether you put a star or you put a check mark or you put a happy face or whatever, but have something that they can track as a challenge so that it's a daily challenge and your kids will be more involved. You'll be more accountable for doing it and you'll actually complete it. The other thing too, that you can do, as a family, like for a fitness challenge, is to train for a family race together. There's so many cool ones out there now, like the rad runs and the color runs and the glow in the dark ones and all that stuff, where kids would have so much fun. So if you're someone who is, you know, interested in even trying to check out one of those 5K runs, like I'm pretty sure with most of them too, they have a different track for like the families versus the actual runners. So like, the kids don't have to run the whole 5K. I think they have like a 1K loop that they do for families, majority, and then they have the 5K. So do the 1K all together or do the 5K if they're up for it, depending obviously on their age and everything else. But such a cool different way to just get outside and like leading up to it, you can even be like, okay, we got to train for this and make it so that it's something that like they're being accountable for and they're feeling excited about, because when they get to that end goal, they're going to feel really accomplished.
Totes.
All right. So that wraps up our podcast for today, because we were just talking about what we were saying, which is one of the most important things, which is making family health and fitness a priority. So just to recap, we talked about first thing was learn to play together, learn how to figure out how to play as a unit, fit it in whenever you can, take active vacations, or at least add activity into your vacations. Watch what you're serving up in the kitchen and figure out ways that you can incorporate kitchen and diet and food and cooking and all those things with your kids, because it's a huge, huge priority. And create family fun fitness challenges. So that's kind of it. Now, Laura, what would you say would be your main takeaway for today's podcast?
I think it's pretty much the title.
Yeah.
You've got to make it a priority. You have to make it a conscious effort every single day. And the easiest way to do that is by putting it into a schedule. So make it a priority, schedule it in, and make it fun. Like, it's not, there's so many times where we make things so complicated and they don't need to be. So just even something as simple as walking, like, but do it as a family and talk to your kids about activity, because they learn from the top. Leadership starts at the top, and you are the top. The mummy is the top. So yeah, set a good example.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think my main takeaway is really just what you said about like making it fun, like find ways to just make any kind of activity, whether it is cooking or whether it is working out together or walking or whatever, find fun ways of doing it. Even if you are going for a walk and the kids are getting bored, play I spy with them, you know, or something like that. Find different ways to engage with them, but also still get active. All right. Well, with that being said, we're going to wrap it up for today. So as always, we want to hear from you. Email us info@fitchicks.ca with any questions, comments, suggestions for future podcasts. Also check us out social media @fitchicks and @fitchicksbootcamp on Facebook. And make sure when you get a chance, check out our fitchicksacademy.com website. We've got some amazing programs coming up. If you want to dive a little deeper, get a more robust knowledge on like fitness, health, nutrition, wellness. We've got a couple different programs listed on there. And if you have any questions about those, definitely email us as well and we will get back to you. Other than that, have yourself an amazing day, and we will chat with you soon. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.